Need a break? Relax. Grab a coffee and join the conversation with Mariska and Cara on Two Sugars.
To have your company this Wednesday afternoon. Well, it doesn't matter how busy you are, it's time to take 25. You're with Mariska and Irene, listening to Two Sugars on 104.6 Planet FM. That's a great track. It just sometimes zings up my afternoon, that track, Wiggling Away. Now, do you know I made a mistake in the beginning?
Mm-hmm.
I said Mariska and Cara.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know why?
Noticed.
Yeah. Do you know why? I'm going to see her.
Great.
So, there's our other Two Sugars little cousins, our little family. Yep, I'm off to see her down in Oamaru to see all of the updates. And, gosh, I'll come back and tell you all about what's happening. But, of course, we're not here with Cara, we're here with Irene. Now, I don't know where to start today, to be fair, Irene. I've just got so many things on my mind and just been looking at some of the headlines in the paper that have kind of grabbed my eye. And just to name a few, snake seen eating pigeon in busy London street. That went with the picture as well. Stop dumping kids in factory farms. The Shortland Street controversy, the storyline of whether to have a Down syndrome's baby or not. That question you have to answer for your kids is Santa real, or where do babies come from? And Kate Hawksby, she had food for thought. When did eating become so complicated? So there's been some really interesting stories out there. But one thing I do want to start with is a bit of fringe humour from the Edinburgh Fringe Festival, which has just been held a few weeks ago. Now, bedtime as a child, feel tired, go to bed. Bedtime as an adult, start to fall asleep on sofa, stand up. Remember, you have got to get the laundry out of the machine. Go into the kitchen. Get distracted by washing up. Notice a plant that needs watering. Hang washing up. Go to bed. I thought that was quite cute, isn't it? Yeah. Isn't it so easy as a kid? You get tired, you go to bed. Simple.
Yeah, I agree. Well, everything in a kid's easy, isn't it? Becoming an adult, you become more and more and more complicated. I like the KISS system.
Yeah.
It works far better for me. But what's a fringe festival?
Did you not know? So you know how you have the Edinburgh Tattoo Festival,
mm-hmm.
which has been going for years and pretty amazing. I haven't been there yet. That's actually on my bucket list, but I've heard it's absolutely amazing. Now, with the Edinburgh Tattoo, there's been another few festivals that have been tacked on in that whole month. So there's a big arts festival that goes on, a big comedy festival, and what they've called the Fringe Festival. And so this could be anything from a student reciting a poem to actually some real comedians or artists or anything. And I think, if I remember rightly, there was about 520 odd acts that were registered to be, and they're just on the street, like, you know, being part of.
So they can be anything or anybody,
yeah,
and buskers, and there's no confines of who can be in the Fringe Festival.
You just have to register, I suppose, and they'll take so many. And yeah, so it's all part of that whole, I've got to get this right, I think there's like a whole month of celebration in Edinburgh, which with the tattoo being the biggest part of it, but then all the other ones have been kind of tacked onto the side, and a whole month just full of festivals and fun and hilarity in Edinburgh.
Great time to go and have your holiday in London, by the sounds of it. It sounds awesome.
Yeah. Bit expensive though on the accommodation. But, yeah, it's like anything, isn't it?
Airbnb.
Yeah. Hey, though, did you hear, especially for those of you up here in Auckland, the Airbnb are being picked up by the council and your rates are going up by thousands?
Yes, I heard. And I think for people who are buying properties or renting property solely for a business purpose, i.e. Airbnb, so it should. They are a business just as anybody else.
And that's true.
And I have no objection to that whatsoever. Mm. It's unfortunate because Airbnb started off as being a means of people getting a little bit more money in their home by renting out one of their rooms, and you came and joined them in their home, etc., etc. And that's how it started off.
Yeah.
And that's when it was really good. And that's how it should be. And as usual, you get these people that jump on the bandwagon and spoil it for everybody else by turning it into a business. I mean, did you see that that house over on the Gold Coast? Somebody had rented this house and was renting it out as Airbnb, and these group of people came up from Sydney, about 10 of them, rented the place out and totally trashed it.
Wow.
Totally trashed it. And the poor owner of that house didn't get any insurance because it was an Airbnb thing, and he wasn't even aware that the person he was renting it to was using it for Airbnb. So, yes. So, I mean, there's a whole pile of things happening like that which is causing problems, and really it's Airbnb, the company, that has to get on top of it and put some boundaries in.
It's a real trust thing, isn't it? Kind of letting someone to go and stay in your home while you're not there. I know a few people that have done it, and I think they've put a lock on their bedroom door or something, or and kind of put anything in there that they don't want people to, I don't know, steal.
I mean, it's, you're going to let somebody into your home that you've never met before, that just comes from overseas?
It's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I was renting one of my rooms out, and it was really nice because I live on my own, so every now and then I'd have a lovely gentleman from Turkey or a woman from France, or, you know, and I'd have this company in the house for a while, and we'd chat and we'd have loads of fun, and they were always respectful, and it was great. But then I realised after doing this and thinking how wonderful it is, I got a couple of young gentlemen from Saudi Arabia. And they were absolutely lovely, but they had come to me through an agency in Saudi Arabia that I didn't realise. I thought it'd come directly through Airbnb, but these people had contracted through Airbnb to put these two young men in my house. A, they didn't know that they were getting... I didn't know that it was two young men. I thought it was one. And so there was only one room for them. So they both had to sleep together in this queen bed, which they weren't terribly happy about. B, they had paid all their money to this agency. And so for the school and for their meals and everything else, all the money had gone to the agency and the agency hadn't paid anybody else. So these two young men they were being totally ripped off by this company, and it turned out to be quite a major for them. But the good news was we did get all their money back for them, and then we did find another place for them that was far more suitable, and they did carry on with their studies. But
that's fantastic, though, and that's kind of a real Kiwi attitude, that genuineness sometimes of Kiwis to help out our fellow person who has been kind of ripped off.
And see, we're so trusting, and we just believe everybody's going to be wonderful, and when we do get somebody that's not quite right, it's like,
it is, and it's really annoying as well, isn't it? Because you kind of think, why do humans do that to each other?
Because they can.
Well, I suppose that's true, isn't it? At least we can put a little bit of that back into their lives. But, it's an interesting one, that Airbnb, to just have some, stranger romp on up. But when there's that genuineness, and I suppose that's what it all started with, that genuine travellers, being able to, just go and feel like they were home in someone else's country.
I think it was a marvellous idea, the way he started it, and I just wish that he wouldn't grow it. I mean, he's let it grow into what it is, because obviously he's making megabucks by having all these businesses as well. And I've even watched a couple of his YouTube videos and things, how he advises you how to run your businesses and that. So he's promoting the business side of it, which I think is going to ruin the business. In a lot of ways. But hey, he's happy and he's still making loads of money, and it's a huge company now and it's right throughout the world. So the only problem is you just don't know now. Like, I've used Airbnb when I've been on travels and that, and I've stayed with a lovely French family and all sorts of things, and it was wonderful because I was staying in the family's home. And sometimes the family would go and bunk in with other family members, so that you had their little two-bedroom cottage or whatever it was, but they were still there to meet and greet, and
that's what I quite like a bit more about it, actually, that you can have your own space, but maybe you're still there, and it's a little bit more blending in with the locals, or finding out and just sharing, I suppose.
And everybody's just so different. I mean, we all get these preconceptions of what people from different cultures are like, but I've had the most amazing stays with wonderful Turkish families in the back of Beyond, and you sort of think, oh my God, what am I getting myself into? And you've got no security around you when you arrive at this place. It could be anybody and anything. But they're just absolutely incredible,
It's funny, isn't it? If we kind of listened to all those perceptions we had and assumptions we make, we'd never do anything, would we?
Exactly.
Now, for our listeners out there, tell us, would you rent your house out for an Airbnb, or are you a little bit sceptical? Gosh, that's a real great Wednesday afternoon word, isn't it? Anyway, I think we best stop for a bit of music.
Good morning and good night. I wake up at twilight.
Now tell me, Mariska, you've got me fascinated about this snake in London eating a pigeon. I love snakes, but eating a pigeon in the middle of London, what's this all about?
Isn't that interesting? And it had a picture there as well with this snake, and it's got its tail curled around what you can see the other half of the pigeon, but you would not expect that in London, would you?
No. What sort of snake? Is it somebody's pet that's got away, or...?
Do you know the worst thing is I didn't read the whole story.
Oh, you're a great help. Okay, we'll have to look that one up. But that sounds interesting. I mean, snakes are beautiful creatures. They really are. So, and London definitely doesn't have any indigenous snakes.
No, exactly.
So it sounds to me like it's going to be a pet that's kind of in the coop.
Got away, yeah. And I mean, there's enough pigeons in London, isn't it? But, you know, it's interesting. It would stop you, wouldn't it? Seeing that on the footpath in front of you.
Hey, what a wonderful way to get rid of their pigeons. Can you imagine? I've got such a pigeon problem. I mean, they're just...
A few snakes out on the street.
Millions of pigeons in London. It's a massive problem for them. Put a few snakes out there that can't hurt humans.
Well, I know, rumour has it, that in Moscow they put the falcons out every once a week to get rid of the pigeons. So they breed falcons to scare them away. Isn't it interesting why pigeons are everywhere?
I know. Every single country in the world and huge flocks everywhere.
Incredible.
In the world. They seem to survive everything. They're not like other birds that, you know, the ferrets or the possums manage to deplete the stocks by eating the eggs and that. Pigeons seem to survive everything.
Yeah. I remember, years and years ago when we were in Amsterdam, they were just crawling in your hair. You know, people would be feeding them, and there's these pigeons. So, they do. And I remember in London too. They do seem to... Isn't that interesting? I wonder why.
And through Peru. I can tell you now, the last place I was in Peru and Ecuador, there was a huge amount of fabulous, huge iguanas everywhere with a huge flock of pigeons surrounding them. Yeah.
Wow, that could be something to look up, isn't it? Why pigeons survive so well. They must not have any... Well, apart from these snakes that decide to eat them, some maybe not very many natural predators.
I don't know. And of course, humans love to, everywhere I go, there's always some elderly lady or elderly man sitting on the park bench with her packets of breads and her seeds and everything and feeding the pigeons, and the pigeons are flocking around her and eating out of her hand, and she's loving every minute of it and not realising what a problem she's causing.
And she's probably sitting right beside the sign that says, do not feed the pigeons.
Exactly. Every time. Every country you go to, every time.
We have to find that out. Maybe pigeons are just really clever. And that's why... Well, they must be to have survived so long. Because as you say, you know, snakes... Well, I don't hear about it. Well, yeah, I don't know.
I'm sure somebody out there knows. Give us a call.
Yeah.
Somebody will have a horrible story to tell about pigeons too, I can guarantee it, because they do poop everywhere.
Oh, yeah. Now, that's a real... Well, yeah, I mean... But it, for some reason, it doesn't seem to matter in these squares. I'm not sure whether the... You know, I'm talking about the squares in the big cities where the pigeons are, whether they actually clean those off every couple of days, whether there's someone there actually cleaning the square.
I think the trucks go through.
Yeah.
You know, the water trucks go through spraying, that have those big scrubbers on the back, and they go, I'm sure they do that in London. They'd have to, it'd get so dirty in London.
Oh, yeah, because they do stink, yeah, and when they jump in your hair. So there you go. Snakes in London. God, we'll start a rumour. Woo.
So it's interesting to me that you've had time to read the news this week.
I know.
These are all news articles you've pulled out.
Yeah, I know. I've just taken a moment this week, and, you know, sometimes I think you do. You just need to take a moment, take a breather, and, yeah, just stop and, I don't know, mine's just been stopping and reading, actually. I've read some frivolous little short stories, and I suppose it just takes you out of the, you know, your busy world for a moment.
Yes, it does. I encourage everybody to look at the news. So even though the news is 99% false, Donald Trump, you've definitely brought that to the fore. But it's still good, because there's always a little bit of, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire. So if a subject comes up that's interesting to you, then you can go to another country and find out how they're interpreting it and so on and so forth. Yeah,
yeah, I like to question it, I must say, you know, sometimes. And with these, it was just headlines that captured my imagination. Now, sometimes I just look at the headlines and I think, oh, for goodness sake, this is just... And often I notice now that the headlines have got nothing to do with the story. And that really He lifts me off, actually.
It's another part of... You know, as a falsehood of society today, it's you just never know what's true anymore.
Yeah, you've got to get it right, don't you? Yeah. Well, gosh, time's gone. That's all we have time for this afternoon. I think we'll come back next week with some of those other little headlines, and I'm sure, Irene, you've got a whole list of things that you've been doing as well. So we'll see you guys the same time, same place next week.
Delaquo Communication, delaquo.co.nz.